Well, all right, let's get it started. My name is Crossworm. I'm a solo artist and producer in the greater Wicked Underground community. I'm a part of 13% Records with Menicide and McNasty. I'm also the music director of the Devil's Night series, which is the biggest and best annual horrorcore and wicked shit compilation. Hands down, no question. On Mountain of the Cannibal God, I play the voice of the lead character, Jake, and the story is based around a pretty intense journey that he goes through. During the writing and recording process, I got to hear what Jay Hex had in mind for the story and all the voicing and the storytelling of it. And right away, I was just like, dude, let me know if you need any voice acting. And there was no second guessing. He just was like, yeah, I got a part for you. And it ended up being the lead character. So that was pretty sweet because I've never actually done anything like this before, but always wanted to get into it. And Jay Hex gave me a great opportunity to do that because I'm a huge horror fan. And I did a lot of studying on the whole, the B movie sound of things. And it kind of helped that, you know, I'm a rookie. So it was easy to sound really fucking cheesy. I met Jay Hex through, you know, the same spot that most horrorcore artists meet each other, which is the networking tool of that is horrorcore.com. Around 2008, I think it was just before I put out Mouthful of Dirt, Jay Hex came through the site and was kind of one of the new guys around. It's kind of really weird because at first I used to kind of, you know, talk to people about him and be like, this guy's like super nice, man. Like, what's with this dude? He seems kind of cheesy, you know? And I didn't really give him a chance at first. And I was just like, oh, here's Jay Hex giving people hugs again. You know, it's kind of a joke that I made. But, you know, after getting to know this guy and seeing some of the stuff that he was doing, it impressed me because he's a real gritty cat. He's like an old school hip hop cat from Brooklyn. There's a certain grit that comes out of that area, and you can see it. It's not contrived. It's really sincere, and that these days is just so refreshing. So, you know, whenever I come across artists that I really believe in like that, I gotta get to know them. That's just the way I am. So we started to shoot the shit and go over ideas and stuff, but over time we became pretty close, and I got to be on the inside a little bit on what he was doing, and I kind of brought him into my world as well. We collaborated on a track called Play That Shit. I assume that if, you know, you're a Jay Hex fan or you're a fan of mine, you've heard this tune, and in my opinion, it's one of my favorite collaborations. It's a classic, but it's like this dirty kind of pirate sound, and I produced it to kind of mimic that old world style that he has in his visual effects. He's a very theatrical performer, and he looks, you know, like this Victorian fucking scumbag, and it's great. So I took from that. I remember there was a joke he made on the boards one time. It was like a Life brand cereal imitation with Jay Hex on the box, and I had said something like, you know, what if you did like a mini wheats thing where you're like, the sugar side, you know, is all about this, but the whole wheat side doesn't fucking play that shit. And that's where the idea for the song came from, and I just made it gritty as hell, and he was all about it. He jumped on it, crushed it, made me look a little silly, but hey, I think it turned out great. And that's where it started. From there, we just passed around ideas, and eventually the script for Mountain of the Cannibal God came across, and I had to get on it. Another thing that's really awesome and unique about Jay Hex is he raps with three different personalities, and those come through with three different voices. And there's one of them, and it's like a possessed version, and it's just really gritty and like guttural. For the hook on Play That Shit, it was kind of like I wanted to kind of do my own version of that. So I was like doing my Jay Hex impression kind of thing, and it ended up pretty cool because I think if I ever really got into a strictly horrorcore project, you know, where I came up with like an alias or something like that, I'd probably end up using that voice a lot because it's a really slick thing, and a lot of people can end up, you know, imitating Madness or, you know, Madrox with their horrorcore voices, but he's got this really unique sound. I think one of the most important things of note about this record is that it's a concept record. But it's not like anything that's ever been done before. You know, you can put a lot of concept records out there, whether it's rock, metal, even hip hop, but it's never been done to this extent, to my knowledge. What Jay Hex has done is he has taken from a genre of horror called giallo, which is Italian for yellow. Now, this genre started off as a literary genre. The novels it was written in, I believe, they had like yellow covers, most of them, and that's where the term came from. It's like a psychological mindfuck kind of storyline where you really don't know what's going on, but it's really gory, it's really violent, and it's really sexual and mentally disturbing. JX was able to take this genre and for the first time put it into a musical story that works cohesively. And he brought on Bad Mind as producer, who did the majority of the record. And to me, this was incredible because if you've heard Bad Mind stuff, he goes from he can do West Coast shit, East Coast. He can do Southern stuff. He does a lot of the really gritty industrial shit that I get into with my tunes. It was really refreshing to hear him take a step back and put this record together with J-Hex, all the production. And it's made out of like bits and pieces of sound scores from all these really great underground films that a lot of people, you know, it's a cult thing. Not a lot of people are into it. But it, to me, it blows my mind that they were able to put it together so sincerely and legitimately and make it sound the way that it does. And along with Chamber, Chamber produced the title track, Mountain of the Cannibal God, and just killed it. I mean, that's one of the sickest beats that I've heard in a long time. And thankfully, I was able to produce a track on the record as well. And in that tune, it's nuts because there's like no hook in it. It's like an integral piece of the storyline where J-Hex goes through and he just tells a story from point A to point B. But you don't get bored of it. It's kind of like a weird track. You're like, oh shit, it pulls you right into it. Even though the beat's going in structures of like verse, chorus, it's almost like J-Hex just rides it and goes straight through. And that's a really badass track, and I think it worked out well for the rest of the album. This album kind of brings me to a philosophical understanding. And over the years, I mean, I've been involved in the Wicked Underground since, like, 95. And I've seen a lot of artists come and go at various levels try to claim the title of King of Horrorcore. Now, for whatever reason, I myself have never acknowledged any of them. I've just never, to me, it seemed like kind of a trivial thing that doesn't matter. It's just, you know, dudes kind of pulling their dicks out, see whose is bigger. But if I had to pick a king of the genre, a king of horrorcore, to me, it would be J-Hex because of what he's done, what he continues to do. No question. In my opinion, I don't see anybody coming along anytime soon outdoing what he has done with this record. Besides maybe himself, J-Hex is one of the few artists that actually, you know, are interested in checking out every single thing that happens in the underground. Like, this guy truly cares. He's all about community and bringing people together, helping other artists grow, helping himself grow. To a lot of people, that can come across as a very political stance to take. And if you didn't know the guy, you would almost swear that he was like just doing handshakes and kissing babies to try and get himself somewhere. But after knowing this guy, I truly do see him as a caring individual and a great artist who's really into helping the community of the Wicked Shit and Horrorcore move forward as a cohesive unit. He's really not into a lot of bickering, which is great to see. However entertaining that is, it really slows things down. And to the outside world, horrorcore kind of seems like it's a fossilized egg buried in the dirt with the shell just growing thicker and thicker every year. You know, if that's the case, whatever was growing inside will never be born. So I think that artists like J-Hex helped that shell to get a little bit thinner and that egg to come a little closer to the surface, if that's an appropriate analogy. I've also been asked to speak a little bit regarding violence in the media, you know, especially in regards to the whole Psycho Sam thing. There's been many others that have done the kind of, you know, sick shit that he has done, the really cruel-hearted stuff. You know, and every once in a while, a weird kid comes along, does something stupid, commits a heinous murder or something, and this scares the fuck out of everyone in earshot. It affects a lot of people around them, around the victims and their families, and this is why people go digging into these idiots' past to find any clue they can as to why in the fuck it happened. So, you know, if you're a cop or you're a parent, what do you do? you go into the kid's room or personal space, you start rifling through their shit, and the first thing you're going to find is, you know, posters, merchandise, music. So immediately you're going to find our records if they have them, you know, our posters in the community. And that's how it becomes our fault. That's how it gets pinned on us, because psychologically, the thing, what you surround yourself with, where you sleep, is the world you paint yourself into. And this goes for kids. It goes for adults. I mean, if you think about it, even, you know, some military personnel, even touring musicians, they keep their area where they sleep plastered with stuff to keep their mind off other things. So what the fuck are these quote unquote other things? That is the question that should be, you know, should have been asked. And it should have been asked long before these kids went and did something criminal and stupid and life altering. Sometimes you just, you know, you need to look into your kid's eyes and say, hey, what's bugging you? Because if they don't know that they're projecting this shit, at least you can make them think maybe something is wrong, and maybe they can think about this shit before they just fucking snap for no reason. And you know what? It's bad fucking parenting, okay? End of story. Now, regarding Sam, let me state a few facts. Now, the following is not opinion. It is fact. Even trying to take a stand about something like that is, you're affixing your face to a tragic situation. You're not getting anything good out of it. Bet your ass. In my opinion, the bottom line is that the true horrorcore and wicked shit movement is buried deep in all this. It's underneath all the bullshit. It's artistic. It's poetic. It's exciting and entertaining. And it's our own. The press will forever smear it, because wannabe artists and psychotic people will always lead the press right back to us. But that's the burden we bear. If you think about art and business combined, a product isn't even worth its own weight in credibility if it has no danger to it. And we put the danger back in alternative hip-hop. And that's why we catch all the heat for it.